It's okay. Let's start with prayer. Father, we do thank you for the Word of God, and we do ask that we use it in our life to give us the right direction that we need. We do ask that you give Bethany the calmness that she needs as she is approaching this surgery next month. We ask that we give the doctors and technicians and nurses involved in this procedure the skill that they need, the wisdom that they need in order to address this thyroid cancer. We do ask that she would be able to recover from this. We do think of Joe Barbie, and we ask that they'll give him recovery from his incident he had today. We also ask to give Jill the recovery from her blood flow to her eye. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so...
Is this on? Is this working? I mean, the email.
Oh, the email should be working.
Is it open?
I haven't looked at it. I was using it last night. But if anyone has an email, they'd like to send this.
It says it's open. I mean, it's
good. So just hit the F5 or refresh. We have to make an adjustment in the sound, I guess, or maybe not. But the email address is questions at bftbc.org. That's questions at bftbc.org. I'll pause momentarily until that. Think I did that button get pressed on it? And then
what button would you like?
There's a lot of buttons around here, but there's only one that I want. There's two buttons I want to push.
You've already started the streaming, right?
Yeah, the streaming's already started doing it differently than before. So, been differently than in the past.
The DVD.
No, the streaming is a little bit different than different. We're using a different program. We're using a different aspect of another program to do the streaming. It's not the same program we have been using, but we have been using this program, and not in a streaming aspect. Before we were using a camera, an OBC, AOC, OBC, OBS, an OBS program. OBS is having problems, and so right now we're just using the Manicams.
Is that the new thing that we're paying money for?
No, it's a program. The OBS, there's no direct charge for the OBS.
Open broadcasting software.
There's no direct charge for the OBS.
It's open.
Then we did an update. An update was happening on Monday or something, Monday or Tuesday. And with the update, it destroyed all the settings. It destroyed it. It's preventing us from being able to use it like we have been using it. So consequently, we're using the Manicams.
Manicams.
Is that what I'm saying? Many. Not a few, but many.
Like Minnie Mouse?
No. Many. M-A-N-Y. Many.
Okay.
Like a lot.
Many.
Many. Many. Like not a few. There's many. There's a lot of them. Many.
Many.
Right.
Many.
Many.
Many? No, that's
right. Okay. Well, anyway.
It is confusing.
So... do you understand what's happening? So the button she pressed was the starting the DVD recorder.
It's okay. I'll say yes. It's easier.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I didn't mean to cause such a confusion.
So, in Numbers chapter, we took a break for the last couple of weeks because one week I was the weather was above me, and then the following two or three weeks I was the following week or two I was getting ready for the Chinese class. In Tuwaco.
And then you were there.
And then I was there. Last week, Tam and I were actually in Tuwaco, New Jersey, at the EMSI, Evangelical Mission Seminar Institute. In Tuwaco, New Jersey. And we were discussing 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Now, in time, perhaps, that may be available on the website. But right now, it's just kind of in a bag over there in the office.
Don't lose it.
You know, it's in the bag. And but we had 12 students, and from three or four different countries. We had a student from Luke, was from South Africa. Our translator, Mrs. Lim, Eunice Lim, she was from the Philippines. Then we have. Who was next? We have Nike and Lynn Song Lim, he was from, they were both from Holland. I mean, they were born in China, but they were living in Holland. And then Jemima, she was from an island off the coast of China, Chinese island, very small, smaller than Collinsville probably, about the size of Collinsville, we'll say. And then there was Lydia. She was from China, wasn't she? Everyone was from the western, probably the eastern side of China. And then Mary, she was from mainland China, right? Mm-hmm. And Ruth was from mainland China. And there was a lady here from the Midwest. There was a lady there from Iowa, from the United States, Iowa. And her name was Tammy. And then there was Mark. Is that right? He's next? Mm-hmm. Mark and his wife, Elaine. Were they both from China? Mainland China? And then you had Joseph and...
I think it was Shanghai.
Maybe. They were both from Shanghai. And then there was Joseph and his wife, Cammie. Joshua. I had said that before. Joshua and his wife, Cammie. They were from mainland China. And there was Noah, also from mainland China. And we had stop by... who stopped in?
Jane
stopped in.
And
you remember Jane, right?
Mona.
And Mona stopped in to say hi. Also.
Hey, from the office.
Dr. Jane,
they stopped in.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're all the students from other classes. And so it was a very nice time. The book of First Chronicles deals primarily with David. So we have all the First Chronicles devoted to David. The first part of Second Chronicles is about Solomon. You know, David and his plans to his preparation to build the temple. And then the first half, more or less, of Second Chronicles pertains to King Solomon and the building of the temple. And then the last part of Second Chronicles, we have the various kings of Judah, the good ones, the evil ones, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good kings, the bad kings, the evil kings, really wicked kings. And then at the very end, we notice the mention of them going into captivity. And then also at the very end, we have Cyrus being mentioned, having this God putting in his heart the desire for them to go and rebuild the walls. To rebuild, rebuild the temple. Thank you, rebuild the temple. Now, Tammy, do you want to briefly make some more comments about what happened last week in Tewaco, New Jersey, at EMSI?
I just want to say that I was surprised when I studied it so closely, because I've looked at it before, but it's very distinctly different from Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, and it seems like it's the emphasis on the preparation for the temple, the building of the temple, and then the destruction of the temple. In the very end, you know, God's mercy and then raising up Cyrus, stirring his heart to rebuild the temple. Although someone did mention and ask the question of you whether the ark was in that temple.
Right.
So, which was interesting.
Yes, was an interesting question. And I said that the inventory wasn't in the inventory, so it was probably hidden someplace. And whether or not it actually made it back into the temple, it's... the Temple of Zerubbabel, as that would be called, the remodeled temple. It's unclear. And I'm going to let Mom, Grandma go first, then you can go next, okay? Go ahead.
Oh, I was wondering why... I forgot my question.
That's why I had you go first. I was suspecting...
Well, I was ready to go, but...
I was suspecting you might forget it. That's why I had you go first.
Yeah, well, I can't remember everything.
Neither can I. But when you do, write it down and let me know.
I was being polite. I would...
Yes.
I don't know. I'm trying to learn.
Well, thank you for being polite. Was it about the trip to Tewaco, or was it about something in the Book of Numbers?
No, it was about the subject. It's all right.
Okay.
Go ahead. I knew it better, in fact, when you called on me. Now I don't know it at all. So.
Okay. Anna, how about you?
Come back.
Oh, well, I was just going to comment on the fact that if you look in the Book of Ezekiel, it talks about the glory of the Lord departing from off the ark. And so
Good point.
So I don't know.
Excellent point.
That's good.
Excellent point, Anne, yes.
If that was
good
in any way, because So then when Craig died, the veil was rent in two.
Mm-hmm.
And we,
you're right.
And then, of course, the earthly tabernacle and the earthly temple were a picture of the heavenly temple.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some good supportive, proof that it was there.
Well, no, Ezekiel was before the destruction of the temple.
Let's try it again.
Okay, yes, you're right, it was.
Here.
Oh, Tammy, go ahead.
What inventory are we talking about? Is it in
Ezra? The inventory of the Babylon from Nebuchadnezzar's inventory. The Babylonians took an inventory of what they captured.
Where is that in the Bible?
I thought it was in Ezra or Nehemiah I thought it was someplace.
Okay, well, maybe
I think so.
We'll have to come up and tell us.
Yes, I'll have to do that.
I'm interested.
Okay.
Where are we?
We're still talking about Tawakka.
Yeah, but
soon. We're still talking about the glory departing from the temple.
Yes, Jacob. That's in Ezekiel, right?
Ezekiel.
In Ezekiel, what verse? You have it there in front of you?
Chapter 9, around 9 through 11 through 12, something.
Ezekiel 9.
Yeah, well, I think it's after 9. I think it's right after that.
Someplace between 9 and 12.
I'm there.
Somewhere around. Yeah, in 10. You see it leaving, starting let me see here.
Oh.
And the cherubim, this is 10:19. And the cherubim sent up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. And when they went out, the wheels also were beside them. And everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of God of Israel was over above them. But you know what else I wanted to add to this? The same way that the glory was departing from the temple.
Yes.
David going up weeping when he was fleeing from his son Absalom.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same kind of thing, that just really through the heart of God. And the same thing, they went up with the olives, and he sent the ark back with one of them priests. I forget his name is. Anyway, there's a whole lot here to this.
All right, thank you, Jacob.
We will.
So, Anna, your thought?
Well, I was just thinking of this verse in Hebrews. Chapter 9 of Hebrews.
Hebrews chapter 9.
Start with verse 3. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden top that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly.
Verse 5.
Hebrews 9:5.
Okay. So, I sort of always thought, well, at least at the time that Hebrews was written, when it says of which we cannot now speak particularly, it sort of sounded like at that point in time the ark was lost.
So, but would this be referencing?
It was or wasn't?
Well, I think she says it said wasn't.
No, I said it was.
It was. Okay. You said it was.
Of which we cannot now speak particularly.
Okay, and I. Thank you for clarifying that, Anna. And I'm thinking that this is referencing the actual tabernacle, right?
Okay.
Versus the temple. Not that it cannot be applied to the temple. But I'm saying that because of what the contents of the ark. Aaron's rod that budded, a pot of manna, and the tables of the law, the Ten Commandments.
I thought that was always in there.
At the time that the ark was placed in Solomon's temple, the only thing that was inside of it was the tables, the law, the tables of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. But that's good though. But he's talking about it's a historical fact of what was there, but perhaps not there now. Is that what you're saying, Anna?
Well, at some point, the ark was not we don't know when it went, but we don't need, the ark wasn't perhaps no longer necessary in the point it once was.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, when Christ died and rent the veil in two, the ark was no longer
necessary.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That is right.
And I don't know if Hebrews was written before or after, or I guess it must have been before. It must have been before Titus, if you follow that.
Hello? Just a moment now, sir. Is this Jacob again? Hello? Jacob?
Yes.
Are you there, Jacob? Did you call back, Jacob? Did you have to call back? I'm sorry, Jacob, I'm not here. Did you call back?
No, I'm still here as far as I know.
Okay, I'm still here too. Is the call coming in on line 2 or line 3 or line 4? We have another caller running to come in. There's a bulletin. Please get a pencil hand. I'm going to give you an alternate phone number to dial. Okay, if you want to listen on the telephone, please write this number down. Of course, you may not be able to hear me, but you give this number to the people that need to get it. It's 712-432-4200. Again, the number is 712-432-4200. And then when the nice operator comes on the phone, give them option number 2. And then our church code, then they'll ask for the church code. Our church code is 52402. 52402. So the phone number to call is 712. This could be a call from Jill, I'm not sure. But the phone number again is 712. Could be from Faith, could be from anybody. 712-432-4200. Then select option 2. And our church code is 52402. Okay?
Sorry.
Hello. Thank you for calling today. What are your thoughts about the book of Numbers? Or perhaps the book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles? Hello? I'm not hearing you. Can you speak a little louder, please? I guess it's not going to help me to put my ear to the microphone, but I was putting my ear to the speaker, actually.
What are you looking for?
I'm trying to talk to the new caller. Okay. Is this you, Evan, or perhaps it's you that is calling Jill? Or maybe it's Faith. I don't know. Or it could be somebody else. I'm not hearing you very well. Please have them call my cell phone if you want to. When you call this other number, make sure they get the cell phone number. Or you call the number I just gave you a moment ago. Okay, so, you ready for the phone number?
712-432-4200.
Mm-hmm. And what number down next when they're prompted?
I can't read it too well. O-S-A... I didn't write up that very good.
It's option 2.
Well,
and the church code number is 42402. And you're still with us, Jacob?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Someone else was calling. I'm not sure who they were. And for some reason, we're not able to get them.
What is this option 2 number? 42402? It doesn't matter. I just can't read my writing.
Let me give it to you here in black and white. Just a moment. Pardon the delay here, but any more thoughts about 2 Chronicles? But 1 Chronicles, do you have a thought on something?
In Hebrews, where it says, "Of which we cannot now speak particularly," it's a reference to the entire tabernacle.
That's where there's right there. There and there.
Okay.
It might be.
I thought it
was... But see, there's a picture of the heavenly tabernacle, was there not? The heavenly, right?
I'm looking at the word of which we can't... The question was asked about the ark, and so I was looking at this verse as a possible indication that, at least at the time of Hebrews, they couldn't speak particularly of it, but maybe I'm not looking at the verse correctly. Maybe it's in the greater context of the tabernacle.
No, but I like your observation of the word particularly. That's very good. So, if you have any questions or comments about what we've been saying so far, what we're going to be saying about First Brethren Numbers, chapter 5, please send us an email. You can get a pencil ready. Or pen.
Numbers,
chapter 5. It's questions at bftbc.org. That's questions at bftbc.org. And you want to call me remotely, 856-816-7839. That's the remote number, 856-816-7839. But let's read a few of these verses here, Numbers chapter 5. Finally, we're going to get there after our brief or extended update about what was happening in the last few weeks. Thank you for taking care of that.
Someone may call my phone and then we can bring my phone up there.
Good, okay. Super. That's nice. Thank you.
They're going to try this other...
Okay, good. It doesn't matter. You can tell me later.
You'll find out.
Okay, we'll find out. Okay. We'll find that. We'll be surprised who it was, who it is. Numbers chapter 5. Okay, Mrs. Grummer, you start with verse 1 there, please.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and every one that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the sect.
Both male and female shall he put out of the camp, shall put them.
All right.
They defile not their camps in the midst where I dwell.
Bill?
And the children of Israel and put them out without the camp, as the Lord spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or woman shall commit any sin that men commit to do a trespass against the Lord, and that person be guilty.
Then they shall confess their sin they have done. He shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof, and add unto it the fifth part thereof, and give it unto him against whom he hath trespassed.
But if the man have no kinsman to recompense the trespass unto, let the trespass be recompensed unto the Lord, even to the priest, beside the ram of the atonement, whereby an atonement shall be made for him.
And every offering of all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring unto the priest, shall be his. So, looking back, again, we notice that this phrase, quite often, the Lord spake to Moses. God communicated to Moses directly. In the past, prior to the close of the canon, prior to the completion of the Bible, God would sometimes speak directly to his servants or to his prophets. And we see this continually throughout the ministry of the life of Moses, throughout this time period when he is being the leader that God has selected to lead the children of Israel through and to the promised land, through the wilderness, the wanderings of the wilderness for 40 years because of their disobedience and their rebellion against God. They could have gone into the land of Canaan earlier than they did, 38 years earlier than they did, but they rebelled against God and they didn't trust God. It's as though their lack of trust in God, their lack of faith in God, caused a delay. And they missed the blessing because of their lack of faith in what God was going to do for them or could do for them. And so that anyone that was the age limit, if you remember the instance, there were 12 spies sent into the land. This is after they came out of Egypt. One spy from each of the 12 tribes. And you have 10 of the spies come back with an evil report, and two of them with a good report. The two that came back with a good report were Joshua and Caleb, we know. And the ten disheartened everybody, most everybody in the camp, in the congregation of Israel. And consequently, they did not want to go and claim the land of Canaan that was promised to them by God. They just witnessed the wonderful works that God had done for them by bringing them out of Egypt. And yet now they fail to believe that God could bring them into the promised land. And so they had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And only those that were the cutoff was 20 years. Anyone that was above 20 years old was not going to be able to go into the promised land. They would die in the wilderness. Your thought?
Even two tribes stayed behind. They liked where they were. They didn't want to. They said, we'll help you out, but we want to come back and live here. That was not a walk of faith.
There were three tribes.
Ephraim,
two and a half.
Ben Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh.
Yes. Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh.
Half the tribe.
Manasseh
on the other side of the Jordan.
Manasseh was reserved. Well, I think Manasseh was up in the northern area, and then you had, was Reuben next or Gad next?
Then
Gad.
And Reuben was down next to the Ammonites.
Down by the Ammonites. So it's a smaller map there, but
very small.
But anyway, that gives you an idea. And so that's like you mentioned, but they did fight and defeat the enemies on this side, and the with the provision, that Moses would grant them to do that, but the provision was they had to cross over the Jordan and fight with their other people to conquer their land too.
Well, I was reading and I thought it was they went across the river and fought over there and then came back. But you have them fight on this side of the river to get over there.
No.
I'm just trying to make a comment upon your. I'm coming in a comment on what you said.
Okay.
Right? I thought you said they stayed on the eastern side of the Jordan, right? The Jordan River is the river that runs from the Sea of Galilee, which is this body of water here, down to the Dead Sea. Are you still there, Jacob? Jacob?
Yes, sir. Hello,
it's
not
just
gonna work.
I can try it.
Whoever it is should be on the other line.
Okay, I have to get, can you please get the phone number of this person that's calling, and I will conference them in on line one. So if you could drop down, write on a piece of paper, if you don't mind, I'm not sure if they're...
I wrote it on a piece of paper.
But write the person that's calling me right now, they can write their number on a piece of paper, and they can put it in bring it downstairs either by gravity or by, in other words, drop it downstairs.
Well, no, that person has the phone number.
Okay. But does the person...
No, if the person...
I want to call the person from this phone. For some reason, they want to be on this phone, so I'll call them on this phone, but I have to conference them in.
I see what you're saying.
In other words, I'm going to have to do a hit the flash key, or... So I need the phone number of the person that's calling. Maybe you could text it to me or email it to me, or maybe there's another way I can get to this phone number. Do we know who it is? Or not?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
So, getting...
I'm sorry, since we're interrupted, can I mention something?
Please do.
I just got a note from Wendy Barbian.
Okay.
She indicated that they had to resuscitate her father a couple times already. And
already?
His heart isn't working on its own. He's in critical condition, so... Anyway.
Boy. Father, we do think of Joe Barbian right now. We ask that you would give him the calmness that he needs for the heart to be able to get back into normal function, normal sinus rhythm. And whatever is happening with him right now, Father, we do ask that his condition would stabilize and you'd be a...
Please. Okay.
a comfort to the family during this this time of concern. A lot of these doctors and nurses and technicians that are helping him right now to be able to understand the various small, minor details that will be helpful for his health, his heart health. We do ask that we work in his heart for his spiritual health, Father. Allow him to remember various verses that he has heard throughout his lifetime at this time. Help him be calm. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so...
Okay, we have you on, Jill, but you have to be quiet. It's on speaker.
Okay, yeah. Well, Jill will hear it. I'll try to... Okay.
It'll get better. Just you have to be quiet.
Okay. All right, Jill. Were you trying to call a moment ago, Jill, on the 4452 line?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're having this. There's a problem with that. One of the inbound lines, if I had your number, I guess I do have your number, kind of. And if I knew it were you, I could call you with a conference call, an outbound call on the line, line one.
Okay.
But we're talking about these 2.5 tribes on the eastern part of the Jordan River, and how they did fight with their brethren. Did they not? They did fight with their brethren on the other side, right?
Yes, I thought they did, but...
Yes, they did. They did. Okay. And so but they liked the territory they were at. That was still, I think, a promise to them. Mm-hmm. You know? There was still a promise to Israel, so that somebody had to live over there. And I think the way it was distributed, that was where it was determined that they would live.
That was, Israel, I was going to be on this side.
I'm talking about the big Israel, the children of Jacob,
right?
All of them, not the divided kingdom.
Uh-huh.
But
it's okay.
So
we'll talk about it later.
And so we're saying God is speaking to Moses. God is speaking to Moses. God is speaking through Moses. And this is during this time period when they are wandering the wilderness because of...
What's the phone number? What's the house number, please? The verse number.
The verse number is Numbers chapter 5 and the verse 1, the first verse.
Okay, thank you.
That's the location right now. Now, Bill, in verse 2, who was to be put out of the camp?
Everyone that is a leper, defiled by the dead, or has an issue.
Is that right, Daisy? Daisy's... it's okay. I understand. Daisy, I think Daisy was talking about... affirming the answer was correct. Daisy agrees with you, Paul.
Is Daisy a dog?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you could turn the volume down, and it would be... lower for her or just for you?
Oh, you're right. It'd be lower for me. Good point.
Does she still hear it?
I think if I turn, it'll just be what I hear, not what she hears, I believe.
Okay.
You can still hear me, right, Jill?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right, so...
Okay, good.
So notice, now it talks about these three classes of people who were not permitted in the camp. Now, a leper. What's a leper when we talk about a leper? What's the characteristics of leprosy? It's not common here in this country.
No, it's just about been wiped out. It's a disease that is contagious, and it also has open sores all over the body.
Yes. And almost like eats away at the flesh.
Yeah.
And it's a very horrible thing to have.
Yeah, I wouldn't even want Congress to get that.
No. I think it was Hezekiah.
No, Uzziah.
Uzziah. Thank you, Uzziah. Jacob, what did you say?
I said, spiritually speaking, I think it's liberalism.
Liberalism. Okay. All right, now you're talking about theological liberalism.
Well, yeah, that, of course.
You know, theological liberalism, of course, is like a leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
And And then also this next thing, that the next group of people that would not be permitted in the camp is anyone that has an issue of some sort, bleeding of some sort. And also, whoever's defiled by a dead body. This is probably the issue, people that issue and blood, and those that defile, that's more short-term than the one that's a leper. But defiled by a dead body, in other words, if there's a dead body that you come across, then I think it's about eight days or so that you are considered unclean. Now, in notice here in verse 3, who else is going to put out the camp, and where did God dwell? So there's not a discrimination between just men or women, but both male and females that have this problem of leprosy or the issue or the defilement of the dead, they're going to be put out with a camp. Because if they're inside the camp, that their disease, their sickness, whatever it is that they have, their uncleanness, is going to cause the rest of the camp to be unclean. And so this is a picture of separation as far as God wants, and in the future he will want his people that are associated with him to be separate from that which is unclean. Now we have both in the physical sense, this is talking about the things that are physically unclean that they were to be separated from. But also, in today's church, we have things that are unclean as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18, you know, the scripture says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. So the things that are unclean, the things that we must separate from ourselves from, there's a reason. Because if we get too close to a leper, what's going to happen to us? That's the most obvious one. But if we get too close to a leper, we are going to get leprosy. And so if we get too close to somebody that's unclean, in a theological sense, it's likely we will contract that theological uncleanness that they have. If we continue to remain a close relationship with them to any point whatsoever. And so we notice here the Lord is in the midst of the camp. That's where he dwells. It's where he chose to manifest his glory. They're there in the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. And in verse 4, Mom, what did the children of Israel do?
Chapter 13.
We're in chapter 5 of the book of Numbers.
Oh, I'm not.
In verse 4.
5:13?
5:4. 5:4.
And the children of Israel did so, and put them out without the camp, as the Lord spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel.
So they put them without the camp, right?
Yes.
They put them without the camp. So if the camp was here, in this boundary, and they would put them outside the bounds, outside the limits of the camp. That's where they were placed. And again, we have here the Lord speaking to Moses again in verse 5. And so, Tammy, from verse 6, what is considered to be a trespass against the Lord?
A guilty person.
I was wondering if Tammy would know the answer.
I'm sorry, I wasn't watching.
It's okay.
No, you weren't listening.
Listen, maybe keep on watching.
And I won't be listening. I'll try to do both.
Okay, do both. Okay. So you want to add to that, Tammy?
What is considered to be a trespass against the Lord when we commit any sin and do trespass against the Lord, crossing the established line of right and wrong?
Committing any sin. Whether that sin is could perceived as a small sin or a large sin. I mean, is there such a thing as a small sin? Is there such a thing as a large sin in the eyes of God?
No.
No, that's right. And so I think what is to be done with sin, and what amount needs to be recompensed? Well, the sin needs to be confessed, there in verse 7. And we need to confess the sin which they have done, and recompense is a fifth part. Has to be recompensed. Anna, from verse 8, what if there were no kinsmen?
Verse 8,
no kinsmen. It's supposed to be like dedicated to the Lord, or recompensed to the Lord. Well, yeah, to the priest. So that it was. Yes, I'm sorry. Okay, so if there's a trespass, it is recompensed to the Lord, even to the priest besides the ram. And we know the holy things, in verse 9, the holy things belong to the priests. Those that are part of the line of Aaron, that's who, these holy things belong to them. So let's read a few more verses. Mrs. Grummer, we'll start with you, with verse 10.
And every man hallowed things shall be his whatsoever. Any man giveth, a priest, it shall be his.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man's wife go aside and commit a trespass against them,
and a man lie with her carnally, and it be hid from the eyes of her husband, and be kept close, and she be defiled, and there be no witness against her, neither she be taken with the manner.
I don't know where we are.
We're in Numbers chapter 5, and how about read verse 14, please?
Okay. 14. When the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled, or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled.
10, verse 15.
Then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall offer an offering for her, the tenth part of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is an offering of jealousy, and an offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance.
And the priest shall bring her near, and set her before the Lord.
And Jill, would you please read verse 17? And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord, and uncover the woman's head, and put the offering of memorial in her hands, which is the jealousy offering, and the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causeth the curse. So, going back here to the 10th verse, to whom did the hollow things belong? Every man's hollow things shall be his. That's to whom the hollow things belong. And so, Mrs. Grummer, I have a question from verse 11 for you. Have to get your pencil out here, sharpen it. To whom did the Lord speak?
To Moses.
He spoke to Moses, that's right. He spoke unto Moses. And notice here in verse 12, again, like we said, today God doesn't speak this way. We have the completed scripture. He speaks us through the word of God. In verse 12, who might commit a trespass? In this instance, we have an illustration of a man's wife that may be suspected of committing a trespass. And it's a possibility. And that is, and also, it be by application, of course, a woman's husband also could be guilty of committing a trespass as well. But in this particular illustration, we have a man's wife committing a trespass. And so we see this mentioned here in verse 13. So Barbara, who else might be involved in the transgression?
Who else is involved? The man.
Yeah, the man. That's right, the man. So you have there's two people that are involved, you know. If indeed the woman is guilty, there's someone else involved. There's some other man that's involved with her in this guilt. And so we see that the... and again, in this particular instance, there's no witnesses to this alleged transgression or alleged sin. And there's a test that's done, or a procedure that's done in order to determine guilt or innocence. And so what type of spirit might come upon the woman's husband? We see here it's a spirit of jealousy that might come upon him. For some reason, he's got the spirit of jealousy. It may be an accurate spirit of jealousy or maybe an inaccurate spirit of jealousy. And so what's done, Jacob, in verse 15, Jacob, what's the man to bring? And how is this offering classified? Or who should the man bring?
Then shall the man bring his pipe, and he shall bring her offering on her the tenth part of an ephah of the barley meal, and he shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is an offering, jealousy, an offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance.
So it's like an offering of jealousy, an offering of a memorial. That's the type of offering that we have that's being mentioned here in verse 15. And we need the question here in verse 16, before whom was the woman this to be set? In other words, she's placed someplace. So she's placed, she's set, meaning that you being put or placed, a transitive verb, she's then set her before the Lord. That's where she's taken. And so Jill, in verse 17, what was to be taken and what was to be put into it? From verse 17.
Let's see if I can do it. Holy water in an earthen vessel, and the water, the priest shall take it, but put it into the water.
So what's up with getting up this, the water, and what was to be added to the water? Okay. And then we have the dust of the floor that's going to be added to that water. So that it's making up this mixture of things. And so then we see that what was to be uncovered, what was to be placed in her hands, her head was to be uncovered. She had some type of head covering on. And
why was she supposed to uncover her head?
This is the procedure to determine guilt or innocence.
Oh, okay.
Her head was to be uncovered. In other words, the head was to be uncovered, and she was to hold this earthen vessel that contains water, the holy water, and the earth, or the dirt from the floor, or the dust, or the dirt from the floor of the tabernacle. She's supposed to hold this, and this is considered a jealousy offering. She holds us in her hands. She's set, she's the transitive verb. She's set, she's put her place before the Lord. Her head is uncovered. They take an earthen vessel, put water in it, the holy water from the tabernacle inside of it. And they get some dust off the floor of the tabernacle. They put some of this dust from the floor of the tabernacle, dirt, and they kind of put inside this wooden vessel. She's has this now in her hands. Her head is uncovered. I'm sorry, Tammy. Before you forget, let me have your... Well, I don't want
to... Is she supposed to be in a big box like the coffin?
No.
Holding these things?
No, she's not. She's not. Tammy.
Isn't an earthen vessel of clay?
You're right. That would make sense.
Wood.
No, I'm sorry. No, never, you're right. You are right.
I mean,
earthen...
I never thought of wood.
No. I was wrong when I said wood. Earthen vessel is something that's made of the clay from the earth, like it sounds. I'm not sure why I was thinking a wood vessel. I'm not sure why I said that.
Okay, you don't say strange things.
So, can
clarifying.
Get it back.
I wasn't criticizing.
I know.
No, I didn't take it that way. A criticism. I did take it as a clarification. She was just wanted to clarify. Like you were saying, she's not sitting in a coffin.
Right.
I'm not sure what verse did they say that.
I don't know. I just heard. I was listening. I can't keep up.
I was using the word maybe the word trance as a verb. Got you confused, didn't it?
Set. She was set before the Lord.
She was set.
Okay, maybe.
She didn't. She not set.
The Transylvania verb.
Putting set.
Put or
place.
Set means to put or place. Do you understand the difference between a transitive verb and an intransitive verb?
I used to know all that.
Yes.
Got A's, but now I don't.
That's good.
Know anything.
Well, if she would sit before the Lord, yes, then she would walk there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She was set there, so someone else moved her.
Mm-hmm.
She may have used her feet, but they.
Yes, they guided her. They guided her to this place where she was to be set. You know, it says the word is set. It's a, you know, the one.
Like you set the table. It's permanent.
Well, we have.
Well, it is like setting the table.
Yes, like setting the table, I suppose. We have the ball, John. Or Joe, or Jacob, we'll say. Jacob hit the ball. Or put your own name in there. Think about it in your mind. Okay, my name is hit the ball. So Jacob hit the ball, you know, whoever it is hit the ball. Joe hit the ball. Mr. Trump hit the ball. It doesn't matter who hit the ball. But the idea is he is the one. The ball is receiving the thing about it. He's doing the action. Versus the ball was hit by Joe. The ball was hit by John. Was hit. The ball is the receiver of the action versus Joe or John or whoever might be the doer of the action. So that one's transitive, one's intransitive. But nonetheless, someone guided her to the spot where she was to be set and put her there. Directed, put her there. Placed her there.
Oh, Pastor Ian?
Yes, Joe.
Yeah, we can look at John or Bill or Sam or whoever is hitting the ball as...
Daisy hit the ball.
An active participant. Whereas when you say, you know, the ball was by John, it's more almost like the act is becoming passive.
Yes, and that's good.
On the part of John when the ball is being hit by him.
Right.
It's supposed to be an active act.
Yeah, so,
John hitting the ball.
So that's Rachel. So in the instance of this woman, she's passively being put or placed in this location where she is to be set. That's good. Let's read a few more verses here. Mrs. Grummer, go ahead and start with verse 19 there, please. Jill, you want to read verse 22, please?
We're
Numbers chapter 5, verse 24.
chapter 5.
Of the book of Numbers, yes.
24. And he shall cause a woman to drink the bitter water that causeth a curse, and the water that causes the curse shall enter into her and become bitter.
Then the priest shall take the jealousy offering out of the woman's hand, and shall wave the offering before the Lord, and offer it upon the altar.
And the priest shall take an handful of the offering, even the memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar, and afterward shall cause the woman to drink the water.
And when he had made her drink the water, then it shall come to pass that if she be defiled and have done trespass against her husband, that the water that causeth the curse shall enter into her and become bitter, and her belly shall swell, and her thigh rot, and the woman shall be a curse among her people. Looking back here to verse 19, what would cause the curse? The curse would be caused by the bitter water. That's what would be causing the curse. When should we drink this water? That's what would cause the curse. So, Bill, in verse 20, what would be another possibility?
The priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing.
That's from verse 20, Bill?
Yeah. Unless I was reading the wrong question when I wrote the answer.
That's in verse 21, which that's true.
Okay.
That's what the woman's charged with, oath of cursing. And what happens to her belly?
Her belly will bloat and her thigh will rot.
Right, and so looking back there to verse 20 briefly, you see that if she's going to be free, guilty or not guilty, and we see her, there's one possibility.
We switch sides to the male.
Right, that's right. There's one possibility here, whether that she's guilty of it, of the transgression of the sin, and another possibility she's not. If she's not guilty, nothing happens. But if she is guilty, then her belly will swell.
Are we in verse 20?
Well, I looked at verse 20. We did verse 21 first, then we went back to verse 20.
Oh, yeah. No wonder I'm confused.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to confuse you, but I asked the question in out of order in some way, in a confusing manner. I apologize for that.
It's hard to know where we are.
Yes, yes, it is. Now, looking at verse 22 in chapter 5 of the book of Numbers, my mom, from verse 22 of chapter 5 of the book of Numbers, how would the woman respond to the priest?
5:22.
How would she respond?
I
got to
find my 22. And this water that causes the curse shall go into thy bowels to make thy belly to swell. And thy thigh to rot, and the woman shall say, Amen, Amen. She's happy to be rotting away again.
She responds to Amen and Amen. That's what she says.
Right. She wants to get it over with. She's in a lot of pain, I guess.
Okay.
Pastor?
Yes, Jill. I think she's just agreeing with what the judge is going
to
be. Yes, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yes, Joe. I mean, Jacob. Yes, Jacob.
That word amen can also mean verily. Isn't that true?
That's true. That's right, Jacob. It can.
All right. How can that?
Yeah.
Are you sure that's Jacob and not Joe?
What's Jacob saying here?
Oh, Jacob was saying that sometimes, in some instances, the amen, amen, could be truly, truly, verily, verily, or amen, amen. In some instances, some it depends on the context, but yeah, that's right. They have a overlapping of meaning and understanding of these words. And what did the priest write in the book? And with what were the words blotted out? We see he wrote down the curse in the book. So he's taking a log of what happened. And then he took the bitter water. And he blotted them out with the bitter water. I suspect this is the bitter water that's in the earthen vessel. That's how it was blotted out. And Tammy, from verse 24, what would the priest have the woman drink? See, she hasn't consumed the water yet, partaken of the water yet. So she's pronouncing what would happen. I'm sorry, Tammy, go ahead. What would the priest have the woman drink?
The bitter water that causes the curse, now that you've told me.
That's right, the bitter water that's caused the curse. I'm getting ahead of getting slightly ahead of myself here. I apologize for stepping on your comment there, your answer.
But the previous verse 23 is interesting. So would that blot out only those that were innocent, or?
I think we think so. Or, yes.
I mean, it's just.
It is interesting. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do they write it in the book each time?
Mm-hmm.
Each time someone comes, and then they put the bitter water on it to blot it out. And,
yes.
And it blots out, I guess, if they're innocent. And
yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It doesn't.
Yeah, only the guilty.
Can I make a comment, please?
Oh yes, please do.
My Hebrew commentary said on the word blot there, it meant to wash them into the bitter water. It was a symbolic action to indicate that the curse is in the manner conveyed to the potion.
So it's symbolic, is what it's saying there. As far as what's going to happen to the words.
The water wasn't actually applied. It was a symbolic accident.
Okay.
That
the curse was contained into the person. Yeah, the words written in the book would actually be in the water. So, you know. As far as when they were. I'm sorry. Just 1 second, Jill. Let me clarify something here from Jacob.
Yeah, sure.
The words are in the water, Jacob? Because it was blotted out, is that what you're saying, Jacob?
Yeah, if you look at 23 and 24 together, he shall blot them out with the bitter water, and he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water, and cause the curse. In other words, that water. If the words would be written in the book, the water would be applied to the words on the paper, but go back into the water. It would make that, wrote words of that in the water.
Okay. So, just a second, Bill, we got Jill's question and Bill's comment. Or go ahead, Jill, your thought?
Yeah. Like, on verse 24, when it says, and he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water that causes the curse, and the water that causes the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. Could that be just another judgment or just another consequence of her sin, by her being forced to drink or just having to drink the bitter water? Of her own actions, in other words?
I think if she were guilty, Jill, it would be.
Yes.
If she's. Yeah, the bitter water, I think, is just a tool that's being used to come to determine the result, to determine the answer of if her guilt or innocence. Bill, go ahead, your thought.
Yeah, this is demonstrating a series of rituals to be performed with the priest. Now, whether the woman or the man is actually guilty is demonstrated by God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important key right there. We're giving these people all the credit for all of this, yet they're following God's instructions on how to handle the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, whether that person is guilty or innocent is decided by God. And he's demonstrating
that
to the priest and to the other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important issue.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the one that God's the one who knows the answer.
God is only He knows, and there's no lie there.
No.
There's no exaggeration. This is really significant when God is really taking part in the execution of law.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Good. Good observation. As far as, and sometimes people have that, they take everything God's part away.
Yeah, yeah. Or they don't mention it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And all throughout the Bible, God is trying to make things clear that to understand truth, you have to give recognition to God because He has done everything.
Right. That's correct. That's right. And so we notice here in verse 25, what was taken out of woman's hands. We see the jealousy offering was taken out of her hands. This was that offering that was in the earthen vessel. That was the water and the dust of the tabernacle was put there, and they called the jealousy offering. And what did the priest do with it? He offered it before the Lord, still in verse 25, and it was offered upon the altar. So she's holding this, she's set before the Lord. Initially she starts out holding it, and he at a certain point, after I guess she drinks it, he takes it, he offers it before the Lord upon the altar, taming.
So this is in verse 15, the tenth part of an ephah of barley meal, and the no frankincense and no oil. So it's just the barley meal.
Yes, that's right.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she has it in her hands.
Right, she has it in her hands. And from verse 26, Tammy, how much was to be offered? I mean, how much did the priest offer and take, and what would be... and what would cause the woman to do?
Well, he would take a handful of it, and he would offer it, and then he would cause the woman to drink the water, the bitter water.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what would happen if the woman is guilty? We see here, if she's guilty, her belly is going to swell, her thigh is going to rot. That's what will happen. If she is guilty, if she's defiled, if she's trespassed against her husband, this will be the outcome of the result of her drinking the water. God's going to identify this, her guilt, by her belly swelling and her thigh rotting. Let's read a few more verses here. Mrs. Grammer, start with verse 28, please. He's still there, Mrs. Grammer.
Verse
28. Just read the verse. We're going to read the verses. Read the verse. Yeah.
Accusation of her husband was false. She shall be sent and shall succeed. This is the law of justice when the wife goes to the family to enter instead of her husband and his defiler.
All right, Jacob, verse 30. Go to me, verse 30, please, Jacob.
Husband. Is there really an echo?
Okay.
Hello? He's breaking up.
Jacob, you're breaking up slightly. So go ahead, and if you can hear me, please read verse 30.
What happened upon
a
husband?
No, read the verse, not the question, please. Read the verse, and then we're going to read verse 30, and then Jill's going to read verse 31. But I want you to read the verse, please.
Oh, read.
Yeah.
Yes. What spirit, or when the spirit let come upon him, he be jealous, right? Shall set the woman or the priest, like you monitor all this.
And Jill, please read verse 31. So, looking here back to verse 28, if the husband's accusation was false, her belly's not going to swell, her thigh's not going to be going to be become rot. It's not going to rot, and she's going to be clear of the accusation. And she's and in addition, she's going to conceive seed and give birth to a child. That's going to be the sign of her innocence. And so, Anna, from verse 29, what is the name of the law?
The law of jealousy.
The law of jealousy. And we see here the spirit of jealousy. What type of spirit may come upon the husband? We see in verse 30, it says spirit of jealousy that may come upon him.
Jealousy.
And in verse 31, Mrs. Grummer, who will be guiltless from iniquity and who will need to bear iniquity? Do you hear that okay, Mrs. Grummer, or not?
Am I supposed to answer?
Answer question 31, please, yes. I'm sorry about the I'm sorry about the echo. I'm not sure why we have an echo here. But keep on talking. I'll try to.
It's a disruption from Satan.
Could be, yes.
Yes.
So Jill, why don't you answer question 30 for me, please? 31, rather. It's question 31. Yes, that's right. Okay, so now let's
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please ask a question.
Are we in verse 30? Is this the 15th of the month?
Today's I think the Ides of March. Yes, okay. The 15th.
Okay. Yes. The reason I want to know, Ann Waite Andrews, that was your aunt.
She was born today.
This was her birthday. Oh. No, this was her diet. Let's see. Oh. She died today.
Oh, she did. What, 6 years ago, 7 years ago?
She died 2/15/2011. So that's
February. 2/15. February 15th.
2/11. So it was last month it was.
I did the wrong thing, I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's easy.
I was very mixed up back then when I wrote that in there.
It's an easy mistake. It was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
8 years and 1 month ago.
But we didn't
yes, Joel.
I didn't hear, I'm sorry. Who died? I didn't hear the
pastor. We were making a notation of my aunt died 8 years ago, last month.
Oh,
we had there was a little notation we saw that reminded us of her death 8 years ago. She lived in Naples, Florida.
I know Annie died 2/15/11, but I don't know what day it is half the time.
Well, that's okay. But you know how to find out if you don't know, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was she saved?
It's not certain.
You're not sure.
It's not certain, Joel. Okay. I don't know. Did Annie ever make a profession of faith when she was younger?
My sister-in-law, as soon as my husband was saved, he evangelized his family and his two sisters accepted Christ. Now, they didn't have the change in their lives that my husband did when he was saved. Everybody knew he was saved just by looking at him and what he did or didn't do. It's really thrilling when you think about it, how God took him out of prosperity and used him and is using him.
Yes, that's true.
And
that's
we
true.
Should be a part of that ministry.
Right. That's right. So, is there still a bit of a vibration, Jacob?
I don't know. Let's try it out.
I think there is. Let me see why. I'm not sure. Did that just start, Jacob?
Hey, Pastor Ted.
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Or is it better now, Jacob, or worse?
I don't know. That's real bad over here.
What's happening?
That's a good question.
It's echoing.
When I was reading, studying up there on my bed, it was shaking like mad. I was doing nothing to make it shake.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah, I wasn't.
I didn't realize you were.
I wasn't studying this lesson.
I was studying something else.
I didn't realize you were actually on the bed. I thought you were, like, beside the bed.
I was on the side of the bed, and I was making the covers neat, because I was going to lie
yes.
down and study.
And both sides were having this vibrating, right?
Uh-huh.
You mentioned that to me yesterday.
But
we're talking. Well, maybe perhaps was doing it today, too. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what happened yesterday. Somebody told me something I didn't. I just passed it.
Yeah, the lady from Ohio told me about it yesterday.
Okay.
That would be you.
Is that me? Okay. I don't know what I am. I'll tell you, as long as I've interrupted so much, there was a big meeting at Dr. McIntyre's church. He had already died.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was standing right under B, separate, the wall.
Yes.
Thing on the wall. And next to me, I heard a woman ask somebody she was with, what does that mean, being separate? I knew the answer. I knew the answer very well. But for some reason, I didn't want to, because I thought, how do I start this? It's a long subject. Because you can have the separation from church. And I told about the two separations. But I didn't tell about it. That's what I would have done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether I'm going to be judged for not speaking out. It just seemed like it needed more time than we had there. But
yeah, you would think people would understand what it would mean. It should be very obvious
especially
what it means.
Especially
at
that meeting.
Yeah, especially yes. with a pastor like
but
him.
But evidently, she was not. She could have been a long-lost loved one.
You know, she may have been.
She was sincere in her question. I could tell by her voice. What does that mean?
It was quite a separated group of people that were there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or they were supposed to be.
Yes.
Historically, for 41 years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Or is it 42 now?
It's
here, this year.
Depends on when you start counting.
I don't know if all the people understand separation.
Last year was the 40th, so we're coming up to the 41st. Some people do not.
It's much harder than it is to
do. Because they haven't had a first. It's a secondary or tertiary experience for them.
Yes,
I don't get that. Those people.
Okay, and I'm going to be.
They only witness it in someone else's life.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Or even more distant,
right.
Someone else. You know, someone else. That's what I mean by. I was there. They're there to know what their mother and father told them.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. And then you have, it's been far enough away, now you have what Grandma and Grandpa told us.
Right.
You know, it's kind of just although that's what they did. Grandma and Grandpa, they did that.
Yeah.
To the point, we're getting, go ahead.
Some ladies from the church over there came here to get something. Dad had encouraged them to come, they came. And the lady, she said to me, don't you, when Dr. McIntyre talked, he had died. When he talks, don't you get such a blessing from his voice, the tone of his voice? She went on and on. And so when she was done, I thought, what am I going to say? I said, no.
Okay.
I don't get a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is true.
Well, it had been a while since he heard his voice.
Yeah.
Are you actually, can you remember?
No, when we came here, I was hearing his voice all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We came here because of him.
Okay. That's true. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So I heard him regularly, and I followed him until I didn't follow him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't take too long.
Right. And so the people, as long as we're using this illustration, I mean, in particular, I mean, it's literally a textbook example.
Right.
Not a figurative or a secondary textbook example. It's a textbook. You go to textbooks.
Yeah.
You know, it's in textbooks. Exactly what happened as far as what happened, how the Presbyterian Church, whichever one it was at the time, the one that the building is still there, how they left. They came to conflict with the Presbyterian denomination. And the point was that they could not go along with what they were doing. With among other things, the apostasy on the mission fields. They thought it would be best to establish an independent mission board.
Well, you don't hear all that when you're listening to the radio back in Texas.
No. You know. No, but the point is, so it got so the confrontation got so great that the denomination in 1945 and 46 and 47, 48, actually 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, when you were in Texas, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But other examples in Texas, other textbook examples in Texas, in Waco, Fort Worth, Jacob, you know where J. Frank Norris, what town he lived in? Was it Fort Worth, Texas?
I think it was Fort Worth, but I'm not sure.
But nonetheless, there's... I'm sorry, Jacob, go ahead.
Was it early night?
Yes, it was, that's correct. You know, and see, there... Okay, let's finish up with what's happened over here first. So they got basically pushed out of the denomination. He got defrocked from that particular denomination, and so when he left the church will say 1,100 people, a round number. It's probably could be a little bit more than 1,100, but nonetheless, more than over 1,000 people left with him. Left less than 100, probably less than 50 people behind. 50 people that wanted to be loyal to the denomination, which they just went through a building project when they left. You know, that building that they left was pretty much being on the way to being paid for and completed.
It's a beautiful building. You know. I saw it the other day.
But nonetheless, because of the separation from apostasy. And the liberal, like I was saying, the liberalism on the mission field. People like Pearl Buck and company. There was something Pearl Buck was mentioned in passing in some of our studies this past week. Tammy came across it with our trip to Waco. Pearl Buck was the daughter of liberal missionaries to China. What was that?
It was Jemima's Island. There was a man who wrote. He was an author. He came to America to go to school. He had abandoned his Chinese father's Christianity and turned to Buddhism or something. Came to Harvard or something. He wrote these books describing China. And they've been translated. I mean, they're in English. So somebody, if they want to understand, apparently he met up with Pearl Buck, and that was how he ended up, you know, getting his work published. But he ended up going. I don't know to what extent his father was Christian, and to what extent later he returned. Mm-hmm. But if he actually was saved, I don't know.
Right.
So,
My mother used to choose the books for me to do book reports on in school. Mm-hmm. I went to a public school, and I remember she found books on Pearl Buck. I don't remember much about what I read, but I remember the Pearl Buck.
Her, or were they about her?
They were. I don't know. It could be letters. I don't know what it was. Whether they were books or letters or what, but it talked about this missionary daughter. I thought she was the missionary.
Now, her parents turned, if they ever had the truth, they turned from it. They were there, I guess, during the Boxer Rebellion, perhaps.
She was a missionary.
She was briefly a missionary, too?
Betty Stamm.
And she was the one that made the statement about basically a heretical... she was an apostate. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was talking about no deity of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so.
Yes. And that's what moderates and liberals do, and so people left that mindset. They got away from it. I mean, they tried to fix it as long as they could, but they couldn't fix it, so they had to leave. J. Frank Norris, as we mentioned earlier, was another example. He was back in he went to Baylor University back in the late 1800s.
Right.
That's a Southern Baptist school.
Yes.
And they began teaching evolution. Back in the late 1800s.
What did they do with their evolution?
They began, this is a Southern Baptist school. that began teaching evolution in the late 1800s.
Yeah.
And so he got away from, he got out of that convention eventually. And the kind of, and then we have, what went on, for one example, some of these big churches that used to be part of they're still part of the GRBC, but the GRBC has changed masks, or changed, not that they had a mask on before, they've put a mask on, and they're changing in some way, gradually changing. It seems as though they're gradually changing. There's a church, Haddon Heights Baptist Church, another church, notable church, that left the Northern Baptist Convention. They pulled out of the Northern Baptist Convention, paid the price, and they got this new place. This new fellowship took the stand, went to a new association of churches, and today Haddon Heights is heading back from where they came, it seems like. I'm not sure how quickly, but it seems like they're heading in that direction. They removed all spiritual service standards. And you can name the Wealthy Park Baptist Church, which became Wealthy Street Baptist Church. I suspect the same thing is happening there. You go further to the west, Grandview Park Baptist Church, Walnut Ridge Baptist Church, Ketchum's old church. They would be ashamed to be associated with Dr. Ketchum. Maybe that's too strong of a language. But
they would be historically still close to him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They have an affinity, but they don't know why.
Right.
Right. Because they're getting further removed from him.
And in their actual way of living, it's night and day. But
right. And so when you have Carl McIntyre, what does Carl McIntyre, J. Frank Norris, and Ketchum have to do with each other? Well, they had something in common as far as standing against apostasy. They came close together. You have David Otis Fuller, Carl McIntyre, and the guy that's was the start of ABWE, Cummins, the Papa Cummins. What's his first name? Was it William Cummins or whatever? But whatever the father's name is, the grandfather's name, who was one of the early founders of the ABWE. They're coming from three different aspects, or two different aspects, and yet they had this agreement with unity with each other to a point.
I wonder what it's doing now. I guess it's different. It's gone back to.
I don't know, but the overall point is, for getting back to your comment about be separate, people didn't understand what that meant because they didn't. They're not practicing it. It's not being practiced today as much as it was. Because there's need for it is not seen or is not noticed. Not that it's not needed, but it's not realized in people's lives. People want to become, they're being wooed over by this coexist movement. They're being wooed over by this get along movement. They're being deceived. And thinking that, and by the sirens of the world.
Good.
It's not good.
Politically correct.
Good.
Yes, what's that?
Political correctness.
Exactly. And they want to have a certain appeal to the outside. They want to. It seems as though, not that we shouldn't want to be able to have an outreach to the outside, but they want to do things perhaps that are going to cause them to compromise in a wrong way. Not compromising in a positive way. But you have theological compromise, which is not good at all. So, I'm not sure if we still have Jacob there, and Mrs. Grummer, and Barbara. Are you still there? Jacob?
Yes. I'm here.
Has the sound, is it still being distorted?
I'm here.
Good. Good job. Is the sound being distorted still?
I think we're still
echoing. Okay.
I can read that.
I have to fix some echoing problems, Joel. Just give me one moment.
I have no echoing good. On my
end. Good. Yeah. I'm glad that you don't echo, which we learned. I'll talk about that another time. Let me try and fix this echo for Jacob, and if I'm echoing, I'm the sender. I'll turn the send knob down slightly. Now, is that any better, Jacob?
You know, I think it's just a bad connection.
Okay.
Pastor Dan, but I don't hear the echo anymore.
Oh, good. So maybe the maybe the bad connection has been reproved.
He sounded good. Jacob sounded good.
That? Yes. Jacob, what are some of your key thoughts? So I guess Mrs. Grummer will say, what are some of your key thoughts you have from Numbers chapter 5?
One verse, Pastor Dan, Song of Solomon 8:6. If you could have somebody else read that, it might come over better.
Song of Solomon 8:6, okay. I'll have to find that. Tammy's going to read it for us.
Eventually.
If anyone has an email, please send them to us. That email address is questions@bftbc.org. That's questions@bftbc. Go ahead, read Song of Solomon 8:6. Yes.
Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame.
Thanks, Tammy. Mrs. Grummer, what are your thoughts about this chapter, or about what we've been talking about today?
The offering that was offered was not a reminder of divine mercy, but of the guilt to be discovered and punished by God. This was indicated by the use of the barley, which indicates an abased condition of the suspected one, as was the use of the earthen vessel, because offerings were made of fine meal from wheat. There was no oil, and there was no frankincense. The meal offering was mingled. In the Leviticus 2:1, it tells with what all is in the meat offering, and it says there shall be frankincense, but it was excluded from the sin offering in Leviticus 5. Because there was no sweet favor here.
Good. Good observation, Barbara. Jill, how about you? Your observations or your thoughts about chapter 5? Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't
understand what jumped out at me, actually. Okay. All right. If something does before the end of the discussion, Jill, please let us know, okay? Bill, your thoughts, Bill.
Well, like on my last comment, I'm picturing the man and the woman as a defendant and plaintiff, and the priest as the prosecuting attorney, and God as the judge.
Mm-hmm.
God is determining guilt or innocence.
Yes.
From what he sees, and since he sees through everybody, and he sees their hearts, and he knows everything. You know, he's demonstrating to people that he is real.
Yes, that's right. That's good. How about your thoughts, Mom, about this chapter? Some key thoughts you have from chapter 5?
I don't have very many thoughts.
Yeah, well, just show the few ones you have.
I was looking through it. I was glad to hear it. I forgot. I'm sorry I missed the last class.
Well, I think in chapter 4?
I don't know. It just appears that there was another class.
I think probably you haven't missed anything recently.
Yeah, we've been off for about 3 or 4 weeks. The class has been suspended for 3 or 4 weeks because of illnesses and the China.
It's very good.
Class, EMSI.
Don't hear much about these books.
No, not too often.
It's a real challenge to teach them.
Tammy, your thoughts, please.
It was interesting at the beginning of the chapter. You know, we were seeing how God was concerned that the camp of Israel would be free from an outward defilement. You know, so we had the leprosy, those that had an issue, those that, you know, were defiled by the dead. And then, you know, then it starts focusing on the inward relationship between the husband and wife and really going to the heart of the husband. You know, he's jealous, whether it's that feeling is legitimate or if it's just something imagined.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to see that, you know, God is concerned about having a resolution to what's in his heart,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it's not something that is ignored. I mean, it's a part of the removing from defilement. I mean, there was, if in fact there was a reason for jealousy, then there would have been an open sin that
mm-hmm.
he may not be aware of. And so God was trying to keep the camp clean. And I had a curious thought, you know, I realized that this was related to, you know, the husband and the wife, but the man, it doesn't say anything here about what happened with the man,
mm-hmm.
so it's just kind of interesting. So.
Right.
Not the husband, but
right, the
guilty,
the other party, the guilty,
yes,
the guilty party.
Yes. It's good thought.
Anna, how about your thoughts about this chapter? Some of your key thoughts you have.
Well, it's almost like how the Jews seek for a sign,
mm-hmm.
and the Greeks seek wisdom. But the problem is that sometimes people, like for example during the Middle Ages, people might have tried to use similar techniques to determine someone's guilt. But this was for a very particular time period,
mm-hmm.
for a particular situation, and no, it's not even, I mean, it's being used in the case of a law of jealousy, but it doesn't sound like the woman is being put to death or anything, because there's no witnesses that have come forward. This is more of I'm not explaining it very well, what my point is.
Which is a good point about the witnesses. I mean, if there had to be witnesses, maybe it would have handled differently under another
right.
aspect of the law.
My point is...
And that would have taken care of the... I'm sorry. Anna, go ahead, Anna.
I guess what I'm trying to say is some people would try to apply this today in some form or fashion, or would try
mm-hmm.
to apply it. And
misapply it, yeah.
Yes, well... And of the fact that they're applying it today, they're misapplying.
Yes,
it.
You're right. That's understood. That's given. Mm-hmm.
But and it's just it's for something in particular. And today, if there's some jealousy within the Christian marriage, then you just pray and ask God. You pray to God and ask Him for wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose. And,
that's good.
And I don't know what I'm saying.
Good.
I'm,
well, you said it well. You said it well. Thank you, Anna. Any more thought? Any more thoughts anyone has about this chapter or what we've been talking about today? Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for the Word of God and the grace that was provided for us on Calvary's cross and sending thy son to die for us and be entombed for 3 days, 3 nights, and be resurrected on the third day for conquering this wickedness of the fall of man. We do think of Joe Barbie, and Father, we ask that you would help him to be stable in his condition, allow him his heart to strengthen. In Jesus' name, amen.